Well, if you're not in Matthew 11, we're looking there in verse 25 to 30, but especially 28 to 30, those famous words. As a new Christian in college, I remember in university years ago, I would ask my friend when I was a new Christian, I would want to know like a particular Bible verse, and he would always say, look up and look down. He said, in other words, look above the Bible verse you're studying and look below it. And in reading, of course, what's around it, you're going to have a better understanding of the true meaning of what that individual verse means. And it sounds simple, but it is true. And I can remember and hear my New Testament professor, Dr. Bob Kara. He was a true Yankee from up north. We always call Yankees every American here. But he was a true Yankee, and he would say, context, context, context. And he would remind us, you know, because people get caught up in all the Greek words and all the meanings of words, and context is key. And this Sunday, we're focusing on some of the favorite Bible verses of a lot of people, memorable verses that so many people know. These words, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest for your souls. And so many people have found comfort, of course, in these well-known words of Jesus, but we need to understand them, of course, in the context where we've read them, and we see it there, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, these famous words of Jesus, if you've been in this series, we're going through Matthew, and we've been looking at Matthew 11 the last couple of weeks, of course, are found in that context of Matthew 11 and 12. And Jesus has been teaching the crowds, as we've seen for a couple of weeks, about living in the reality of this evil world as disciples. About realistic Christian living, if you will. And he used the message and ministry of John the Baptist as an example when John was in prison and sent word to Jesus, are you the real Messiah? And Jesus used the example of John's fruit spiritually to teach the crowds about what being a disciple is, and the faithfulness of John and the grace of God and the message we have. And we saw last week that Jesus warned us about comparing as we live in this world. We know that God will bring a judgment and does judge in a way that's based on His perfect knowledge. So we need to be focused and not comparing ourselves to others. And then we see Jesus praises God the Father. As we read those verses today, we looked at what they meant last week somewhat. And he praises the Father, that there are those who reject the gospel, right, in the context of John 11, what's happening. But there are many that the Father chooses to draw to Himself. The Son chooses to give faith to them. And so Jesus says, stop comparing, look at what God's doing in your life, and start praising God the Father through Christ for His power, for His sovereignty, for His salvation, for His grace. And Jesus models that. And Jesus calls the humble, right, those that Father has seen fit to see the gospel truth. They're the ones God has seen fit to do that. And he calls us to be humble, calls us to remain childlike, remain teachable. We talked about that some last week, remembering that we only come to the Father through the Son. But see, we remind ourselves of that because all of this leads up to this call to come to Jesus. These famous words where Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary. Come to Jesus in faith. Because number one, though God is sovereign, yes, He draws those and gives those faith that He wills and chooses. God is sovereign, but we're still called to come. We're still called to call others to come. And that's what we see here in the context of what's going on in 25 up to 30. You know, D.L. Moody once talked about how he said he believed the outside of the gates of heaven will say, come unto me, all you who are weary. But once we get inside, it will have the sign from Ephesians 1 that says, chosen before the foundation of the world. And those both things are true. What's interesting, though, as well here, as we start to look at this, is who Jesus calls. Who does He call to come? Jesus doesn't call the comfortable. Like He said earlier, I didn't come for the healthy, those who think they're healthy. He doesn't call those who are sitting around in life, leaning back in their recliners, all comfortable and everything is going great, and they think they're okay. He says, you who are weary, you who are heavy laden, worn down. And notice what Jesus, as we start to look at this, calls us to. He calls us to an ultimate rest, a real rest that He alone can give us, that He came to give us, a rest from striving, a rest from false religion, a rest from trying to live life our own way to be saved, a rest ultimately we're going to see from the burden of sin and all that it means and what it does to weigh a person down, a human down. Jesus calls those who are humble to come, those weary and burdened to be forgiven and to come to know Him and to know His forgiveness and to know that freedom in Him that He alone can give. As we walk in a life of love in Him, knowing Him, having Him guide us, knowing the joy of walking in obedience to Him and living for Him and working. Notice He doesn't say, come and I give you a recliner, take my recliner, take my bed. He says, take my yoke. He gives us purpose. He gives us work. He gives us the right kind of service as we walk with Him. He doesn't say, come, you know, you who are weary, and here's my bed, here's my recliner, here's my chair, here's my yoke. We're going to talk about that. No, He says, come and take my yoke upon you. See, there is a true rest, a spiritual rest that is alone in Jesus Christ, we know, that comes as we grow in Him and we love Him and we know the joy of living for Him and working for Him, even in this evil, sinful world. And a myth that we know is out there, we hear all the time, is that somehow you can find rest in other ways. You know, even Christians kind of talk about this, you know. And it gets off from trusting in Jesus Christ. Wilkins said, it's easy to try and find comfort in other places, even for Christians, other than Jesus Himself. He said, whether it's TV, alcohol, escapist vacations, or other things that we try to dull ourselves to the pains of this life. There's this myth out there that goes something like this. Well, to find real rest, I just need some time off. Time off can be good, right? You know, I just need time away, but is it really what Jesus is getting at here? Certainly physical rest can be helpful, and sometimes family holidays can be great and very relaxing. But I'm sure that some of us could give great testimonies on how holidays we've had at times haven't been a real restful thing. We had to have a vacation from our vacation, as they say. And what we need, sometimes more than anything, what we really need is what Jesus alone can give us. We need to come to Him. We need to turn from everything to look to Him. Someone said, solitude is where you slow down and you look inside. You look at life. What's going on in our hearts? And some people will think, well, you know, if I just make changes in my life, I change, you know, and move away, or I change churches, or I change jobs, or I change this. Sometimes change is good, but we'll think, well, that's where I'll find real peace. But the problem is often much deeper in many cases, isn't it? And only Jesus Christ can fix that problem. So as we look at this well-known Bible verse in context, trying to really understand, I want us to think about this. How do we find the only rest that will really satisfy our souls in Jesus Christ? What does that really look like? Not only physically, mentally, and emotionally, but ultimately rest for our souls. That's what Jesus came to give us. And we need to know, yes, when we first come to Christ, when a lost person comes to Christ, they need to understand this, but we have to continue to do this, don't we? Continue to look to Him and come to Him. It's not just a one-time thing. The first motivation we see here, if you're writing down points, as we come to Christ and come unto Him who will give us rest for our souls, relates to humility. The need for true humility, that we recognize who God is and who we are. And we see it there in those verses leading up to 28 to 30, starting in 25. And we looked at it a little bit last week. But Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. You've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is your good pleasure. You see, real rest flows from an understanding of real humility before God. Recognizing who He is, and in light of that, who we are. And what we have to realize is that we look at these verses, 28 to 30, the famous ones, in context. Jesus, as we've seen in Matthew 11, is preaching the gospel. He's bringing the message of the kingdom. And there are those responding to it in faith, but many in the crowds who are indifferent to it and essentially rejecting the message. The division is getting stronger. But even in the middle of this, get this, before Jesus says, "Come to me," in the middle of this, Christ, as the Son of God, as a human being, is modeling what this means for them. He's showing them what it means to trust God the Father in humility. What it means to come to God. What's amazing, Jesus models this attitude for disciples, even though He's God Himself. But He does this in His human form as He walks on the earth. We saw last Sunday how Christ praises the Father for who He is. He's Lord of heaven and earth. So while Jesus is in the middle of all this rejection and all of this stress, people are pulling at Him for their needs. And on the other hand, in the other direction, they're rejecting His message and coming against Him. And He could have just pulled away, but instead He praises the Father. And He essentially says, my paraphrase, "Father, You're in control of this. I humble myself before You. I know it is Your good pleasure that You receive some. Some receive the message, others reject it. And I humbly look to You in the middle of this stress." What we have to realize when it comes to real rest, the only way we find it is in a real relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And Jesus models that here for us before He gives those famous words. We only find real rest for our souls as we are growing in our walk with God through Christ, a real relationship with Him, trusting in Him, realizing His power, His sovereignty, resting in His plans and what He's doing in our lives. This is the humility that alone leads to true rest for our souls that Jesus models here for us. He's showing us this is at the heart of the kingdom of God's grace. The more we realize who God is, He's in charge, and that He will take care of us as we draw near to Him through Christ, the more we'll find the true rest that He alone can give us for our souls, that's deep in our hearts. I love what Isaiah 26:3 says. We probably know this verse. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." So Jesus says, even in this, I praise You, Father, for it was Your good pleasure to hide the message from some and to reveal it to others. And the point in this is, in His human nature, Christ, under this stress, this rejection, He has this relationship, of course, rooted deeply with God His Father. He rested deeply in His plan, and He praised God the Father for that, and He models what we're meant to do. Jesus says, even in this, even when the gospel is received by some and rejected by others, I'll trust You. And He says in this, doesn't He, it's going to be received by the humble. Those that You open their eyes, Father. Those like children who, yes, are curious like a child and want to know more, yes, but ultimately, like a child, those who are humble, who trust the Father, who trust in God's will, who receive His truth, like Jesus is modeling, like the one He says, those who are a child and come like with humility, like a child, they will be the ones that come unto Him and find rest for their souls. They're the ones that come through the Son to the Father, the only way that we can come to Him, and they're the ones that find real rest for their souls. I mean, think about, you know, with our kids when they're younger. You know, when they wanted to ask me for ice cream money or for something else, they weren't saying, "Now, Dad, where'd you get that money from?" No, what did they do? They just trusted me. They asked me, they received, they didn't give me the grand inquisition about it. How much more should we come and we trust our Father, God, who is trustworthy ultimately, knowing He's God and we're not God? That's at the heart of where real rest in our souls comes from, as we grow to rest in the Father's plan and let God be God. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we're to seek first the kingdom of heaven knowing all these other things will be given as well. Number two thing we see involves hunger. Hunger, not only humility, but hunger. We realize as we come to Jesus, these famous words for rest for our souls, we realize more and more that our way is not the right way. It's not the best way. That real rest in our souls comes from seeing reality as we're in God's Word, as we come to Christ the right way with hunger. We see reality as it is. We see the depth of our need. We have a hunger for what Christ alone can give. And He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, your burden, and I will give you rest." Now, this refers to who Jesus calls to come. Again, it's not people who are prideful, think they have it all together, who are sitting back in their recliner, who think that everything is fine, they're successful, they've got it all together. No, He says, those who are burdened, those who are weary, come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. Burdened from what? We mentioned it a little bit earlier. But ultimately, from all the effects of sin. From trying to carry the burden of their sin. Of trying to live life their own way. Now, for them, and we can get caught up in this legalism as well, but for them, I believe Jesus was also talking about the burden that the Pharisees, those religious leaders of the time, were heaping on them. All their extra biblical rules, all the things that they said they had to do to try to protect themselves, and they couldn't do it, and the people couldn't live up to it, nor could the Pharisees. And that was part of it, right? That they could not keep those things. And Jesus says, "Come to me, because I've paid the price. I'm going to pay the price for them. My burden is easy. My yoke is light." And so, but it also at the heart of that deals with our sin, doesn't it? Our problem of sin, being burdened by our sin and our guilt, that we don't know, if people don't know the joy of forgiveness that Christ alone can give. And we struggle with this, don't we, even as Christians? But it's not knowing that freedom, that joy of knowing Christ, knowing we're forgiven, and knowing the power to be able to live out what God's called us to do in Him. He says, "Come to me." See, this is why I believe so many people, they get caught up in so many different things, don't they, dealing with this core problem. They overburden their schedules. They push harder and do more and buy more and try to get more. All of these things, because they're trying to deal with their ultimate sin problem. They're trying to carry the weight of their sin and all their fear and all their worry and all their guilt ultimately. And this is why people continue to have relational problems and struggle, because they lose sight of this ultimate core problem. Because they don't really see the real problem. They don't see themselves in having that problem. They don't see themselves as they really are, and therefore they don't have a growing hunger for what they really ultimately need, and that is Jesus Christ. That is what He alone can do. I believe Christ is saying it's only when He is more and more the center of our lives, of an individual's life, that we'll have that rest for our souls. It's only when He's truly the leader in our lives more and more, and in our families, in the church, in our relationships, in our own personal life, that strength that flows from Him and what He came to give us through His death on the cross, through what He does to set us free from sin and to know Him and walk with Him. That's where that joy and that peace and rest for our souls comes from. Now, Jesus speaks of a yoke here, you know, and there's different ideas about what this yoke is all about. But we know people in that day would wear a yoke often that was designed for them to help them in their workload, to carry the workload. And yokes could be personalized, tailored, and fit to different people. I believe Jesus is saying, "I want you to take this yoke that is perfectly fitted, my yoke that you will wear. It doesn't mean you won't do any work, doesn't mean you won't have any purpose, but you take that yoke that I have designed that is perfectly fit for you, knowing my forgiveness completely, knowing the freedom I give you to set you free from sin, and knowing the fulfillment that I alone can give you to know what you're called to do. Continually take my yoke upon you." And you'll know that forgiveness, that freedom, and that fulfillment that I alone can do. As we come to Him and we grow to know His grace, know His heart, His light yoke and burden, to know the joy and purpose that He saved us for, to walk in that and work for Him, that's where we find that joy, we find that rest for our souls. Jesus' yoke is the freedom we have in knowing that forgiveness, growing to love His law, His commands, to see Him in a whole new light, to have the power to obey them, to know He's working through our lives as we live out what He's called us to be. 1 John says what? That His burden, His commandments are not burdensome. For the true Christian, they're a growing joy because we can see those commands and the truth of His Word connected to what's going on in our lives, corresponding with life. We can see how they are consistent. They work together. We can see how they give clarity to our lives when we're born again. We can see how they show us God's heart and His character. And we see Him in a whole new light. His commands are not burdensome. And we become those who see ourselves more and more as we really are in need of Him, and we hunger for Him. Those who are weary. Weary of living life our own way. Weary of our sin and its burden and trying to carry it our own way. We come to Christ alone. I always love what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. That's Christianity, folks. People who hunger and look to Christ and keep coming to Him, that's the ones that know Him, that find that rest in Him. See, when Christ says, come, what does He say? He says, come to Him. He's indicating an intimacy that's at the heart of the true Christian life and faith. Come to me. He says, come unto Him. It's a tender call of intimacy with Him. It's indicating a day-to-day walk with Him where we know Him. We know the One who is gentle and humble of heart. We know the One that we'll learn from as we take His yoke, His burden upon us. And those who are tired of the rat race, those who are tired of false religion, empty religion, tired of the way they're living their life and the complexities of life, this is the message we communicate, isn't it, of the gospel, of what Christ alone can do. This is the thing that we hold on to, isn't it, for us as Christians. Christianity is ultimately about individuals coming to Christ as we come to Him, knowing His heart, knowing His grace and forgiveness. And He takes us under His wing. And He never lets us go. And we walk with Him. And we know His love. We know His comfort. He leads us in His way. He leads us with kindness and humility and gentleness. I always like the story I read about years ago. This pirate ship. And I don't even know if it was a real story. It just makes a good point though. It was dominated by this captain, defeated in battle by a British ship, this pirate ship, and this benevolent commander won the battle, and they took this pirate ship over, and the British commander dispatched a group of trustworthy lieutenants to sail these pirates back to England. Well, the pirate captain and his henchmen are all locked up in the deck, right? This old pirate, evil pirate, and the remainders of the more agreeable pirates in the story were enlisted as sailors. And in transit, these former pirates grew accustomed to a new form of leadership. They found themselves holding their heads high in the story on this ship. They were respectful of their new officers in charge. But at one point, however, that caged pirate captain, who's now captive, begins shouting curses at his old crew that are now part of the new crew. He's trying to intimidate them. At first, they were shaken. Some of them started to listen. But eventually they realized that that captain was no longer their captain. See, as followers of Jesus Christ, we know this new captain whose yoke is light. We have a new benevolent captain who has our best interest in mind. He loves us. He rules us by gentleness and humility. He transforms our hearts with an internal desire to obey Him. Christianity, see, is only for those who truly see themselves this way. In need, weary, burdened, but we're able to come to Jesus and find rest. When you think of weariness, really the idea is of being exhausted on the journey of work, the journey along of life. Burden means we're weighed down with heavy loads. And ultimately, at the heart of that, we know sin. That involves guilt, that involves fear, that involves all the things that flow out of that. Stress at work, lack of sleep, all these things, frustrations in relationships. But at the heart of it is the burden of sin. But Jesus says, come to me. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're heavy, he says, come the first time and continue to come to me and I will give you rest. What's weighing you down? What's weighing other people down around you? Have you looked at your life to see what's going on there? Do you know that the only rest will ultimately come in Jesus Christ? And we've got to continue to come to Him, being convinced more and more that our way of living has worn us down, has burdened us. That's what's happening in other people's lives as well. When priorities get out of whack, when people live for their own way, we need to return back to our Savior and look to Him. Number three thing here is the last one that we'll look at today, and that's hope. Recognizing, so there's humility, there's hunger, and there's hope. Recognizing who Christ is and what living in intimate fellowship and faith with Him, knowing what that's all about. That's what we have to do as we come. It involves hope. Hope for what Christ alone can do to change us. To know that real rest in our souls comes in walking in rhythm by faith with Christ. Looking to Him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There's a continual learning. There's a continual walking in hope and faith. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart and you will find rest for your souls. There's a story of this student from a prestigious university many years ago. He had journeyed off into the mountains of Tibet during his summer after his second year. And he met this monk who said, well, you know, you're living the wrong way. You're caught up in all your success. And you think happiness is staying up all night to study, he said. You think happiness is not finding a woman who will make you whole, but winning the girl that everybody else wants. That's not what life is all about, this guy told the young guy. He said, life's not a competition. He said, give it up and join us where we are in this monastery. Come and you'll find happiness here. And the young man, you know, was ripe for that appeal because he had worked so hard and been so caught up in his studies. And so he called his parents up and he said, you know, this is what I'm going to do, Mom and Dad. I'm not coming back home right now. I'm not going back to uni. I'm going to go live at this monastery. And to the dismay of his parents, that's what he did. Well, in 6 months after that, he wrote his parents. He said, Dear Mom and Dad, I know you weren't happy with my decision not to come home and to go there. But I want to write and tell you things are great here because for the first time in my life, I've got peace in my soul, he said. There's no competing. There's no hustling. There's no trying to get ahead of everybody. We all share. He said, this way of life is so in harmony with the inner essence of my soul that in only 6 months, I've become the number two disciple in all the monastery, and I think I'll be number one by June. Now, sadly, this is the way that people get caught up. This young man, nothing changed about him except his environment. What really needed, the only thing that can change us, is what Christ alone can do in our souls internally. One commentator said, this is what Christ offers us. True life. One that changes us from the inside out, forming us, making us into the people that God desires, who love Him, who serve the Lord, from a renewed mind and nature. That's what His easy yoke of discipleship is all about. So Christ comes to change us, to set us free, to serve Him. He puts on us His yoke of joy and freedom that we grow to know Him. We grow to work for what really matters. And at the heart of His yoke is learning from Him. Learning from Him continually, growing in Him, being changed in Him. And we've seen that's what Matthew's been all about, hasn't it? In a lot of ways, with discipleship. I don't know about you, but I've never been light on my feet. And I read, you know, this one paraphrase says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I've not had the rhythm others have. I've not been light on my feet. And we can get that way spiritually, can't we? You know, we get into our ruts. We get into our patterns and our own rhythm, our own way of doing things. We are creatures of habit, which is often at the very heart of our sin, isn't it? At the very heart of our stress and our problems and being worn out. That's why Jesus says, come and learn from me. Take my yoke. Walk with me. I'll help you to know true life. Didn't Jesus say that? John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundant. So our rhythms sometimes get all out of whack, don't they? Where we spend our time, what we're focused on. All of that's at the heart of the burden of sin. And Jesus says, I've come to forgive you, set you free, and bring hope for true life, true change. And that's what Jesus is getting at here, I think. We all get like that because even if we're Christians, we can shift back, can't we, to the old ways very easily. The old rhythms, our own patterns, our own rhythm, not the rhythm that Christ alone can give us. So we do this the first time, but we have to continue to do this. We exchange our load and take His yoke because that's what He came to give us. His load, His burden, and to learn from Him. We exchange our patterns and take His rhythm, His pattern. That's the exchange Christ wants us to continually make, to lay our load upon Him, to know in Him we're forgiven, and to learn His ways, and to know His grace that alone changes our hearts. See, in context also, this yoke was a symbol of slavery and oppression in many cases. I believe Christ was also saying, I've come to set you free from bondage under sin, living under the law, as Paul says it, being condemned by the law, not being able to live up to that, trying to do it your own way, because I've come to do it perfectly. That's why I'm here. And I'm going to die in live in your place. I'm going to die on the cross in your place. And I'm going to rise up victorious to give you forgiveness and grace. Christ's yoke is light. His burden is easy. Not because it changes anything about God's law, but because He sets us free from its guilt. And we know this Savior who loves us and who frees us from sin, frees us from fear, and empowers us to live out what God's called us to do. Christ, I believe, is picturing weary people. We as Christians can even get like this, can't we? Certainly. And we get caught up, we lose our focus, we can get caught up in the wrong thing. He's focused on people that are caught up in the wrong complexities of religion and wrong ideas, who cannot live up to it. But they don't have to because they can look to Him. We need to remember that, don't we? In what we communicate with the gospel to the lost world around us. Christ is saying, I've taken the load of sin, so come to me. Trust in me in simple faith, and I forgive you and set you free. Come to me, and I'll show you what life is really all about. I'll show you and empower you to know what God's law is all about, to love God and to love others. Come to me, and I'll transform your heart and all your life more and more, because my life is in you. My ways will be clear before you. And they'll make a difference. And what you're called to do, the work you do, the load you carry, it'll have purpose, fulfillment, meaning. My burden is clear. My burden is consistent. My burden is corresponding to your life and will transform your life. So come to me and you'll know what I call you to do. I'll be clear with you. God doesn't play games. Jesus shows us who He is, shows us what He's given us. And as we grow in Him, He gives us, as one man calls it, a sweet labor of love, a sweet purpose and joy as we walk with Him, as we have hope in Him, as we grow through Bible study, through prayer, through service. Real rest flows from Christ living in us, transforming us from the inside out, giving us that peace and joy that He alone can do. He lives in every true Christian as we walk with Him in intimacy day by day. He changes us. He shows us what's right. He helps us to serve Him and know that joy in serving Him.
And he helps us to know what really matters.
See, when he says take that yoke, it's not taking away what we're called to do. A lot of times we get so caught up in being tired and exhausted because we get focused on the wrong work, the wrong things, and we need to know the joy of what he's called us to do. Warren Wiersbe said, life gets simplified and unified around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So we remember to come to him and call others to come to him and regularly look to him and to know what he's called us to do. That's where the joy is. That's where the purpose is, as he changes our priorities more and more, as he leads us and we focus on intimacy with him. And we get overburdened and exhausted because we lose our focus on what God's doing through us. That's why Paul said, walk not in the flesh, but walk in the power of the Spirit. We need to remember that, don't we? Let's look to the Lord as we close this afternoon. We ask for his grace and his strength to look to him and grow in him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these well-known words, Lord, that you've given us. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, my burden is light. Lord, we come to you and we know that in Christ, as believers, we are forgiven. We've been set free from sin and from condemnation, not being able to live out the law, living under that condemnation of it, of our disobedience. But we know in Christ, through your perfect life, Jesus, and your death and your resurrection over our sin, we know we're forgiven. And we know, Lord, as we look to you and lean upon you, we know your grace. We know the joy of your Spirit living in us, giving us new hearts, a new love for you, Lord, and a joy as you lead us in doing the things that you've called us to do. We know that shows up in different ways, Lord God, in the work that we're called to do, the service in the church. The way that affects each of us is unique in ways, Lord, but we ultimately know you have tailored that yoke, Lord, as we look to you, your yoke, to fit us perfectly, that we'll know that joy of loving you and serving you, and we look to your return. We look to eternity. So, Lord God, strengthen us, Lord, through the truth of your word and through these well-known words, Lord, that we'll grow in Christ, that we'll grow to be those who know the joy of the freedom we have, Lord, and we seek to reach out to others with this message of the gospel, this good news of grace, that others will come to you, Lord God, as you're at work through the Spirit, as we preach the message, as we share it, that they'll come, Lord, and as you're sovereignly at work, Lord, they'll believe and they'll look to you and know the rest that you alone can give them in their souls. Use us in this, Lord God, that we might be evangelists, Lord. We might be missionaries, Lord, to share this good news with those around us. Lord, we love you and thank you that if we're Christians here today, Lord, we know that freedom. We know that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Lord, we know that joy of resting in you and your person. We know your gentleness. We know your great love for us, and the way you give us that every day, Lord God. So we give you thanks, and we pray for your blessing on this day and, Lord, this week as we serve you, that we'll continue to walk by grace through faith and live out the Christian life the only way we can, Lord, by looking to Jesus. And we give you all thanks and all praise in his name. Amen.